This is Tape 1, Side 1. The Summon of the Lord of Hosts, Tablets of Baha'u'llah. Baha'i World Center, Haifa, Israel. Copyright 2002. This recording has been made for the Baha'i Service for the Blind, a committee of the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States. Your reader is Bill Peary, and this is June 2002. This tape has been tone indexed. The tablets have their paragraphs numbered. So rather than giving a page number, though I will do that periodically, rather than giving a page number with a tone for each page number, I will give the paragraph number at the beginning of each paragraph, signified also by a tone. The beginning of each tablet will be designated by a double tone. Contents, introduction, Roman page 1. The Surah Ihakal, or Surah of the Temple, begins on page 1. It is divided into 5 different sections, each section being addressed to different individuals. The first section is Pope Pius IX, beginning on page 54, Napoleon III on page 67, Tsar Alexander II on page 83, Queen Victoria on page 88, Nasruddin Shah, the Lai Sultan, on page 96. Each of these sections will also be signified by a double tone. The Surah-e-Ra'is begins on page 139, Lai-e-Ra'is on page 159, Lai-e-Fuad on page 175, Surah-e-Muluk, the Surah to the Kings, page 183. The notes section will not be given at the end of the book, but rather the footnotes will be given throughout the reading as they occur. Key to the passages translated by Shoghi Effendi will not be given in this reading, as it would cause absolute confusion. They are simply references to those passages that were and indicating which passages were actually translated by Shoghi Effendi. And of course, the index itself has not been recorded. Note on the translation, which occurs at the end of the book, will be given now at the beginning of the book. Note on the translation. Wherever possible, translations made by Shoghi Effendi have been incorporated in the present volume. These passages account for approximately one-third of the text. The committees and individuals appointed to prepare the translation faced the challenge of rendering the balance of the text in a manner at once faithful to the meaning of the original and consistent with the exalted English style established by the Guardian for the translation of Baha'u'llah's matchless utterance. In the translation of the Lai Sultan, the translators benefited from consulting the earlier pioneering translation of the English Orientalist E.G. Brown as it appeared in Abdul Baha's Traveler's Narrative, first published by Cambridge University Press in 1981. End of note. Introduction. The years following Baha'u'llah's arrival in Adrianople witnessed his revelation's attainment, in the words of Shoghi Effendi, of its meridian glory through the proclamation of its founder's message to the kings and rulers of the world. During this relatively brief but turbulent period of the faith's history, and in the early years of his subsequent exile in 1868 to the fortress town of Akka, he summoned the monarchs of East and West collectively, and some among them individually, to recognize the Day of God and to acknowledge the One promised in the scriptures of the religions professed by the recipients of his summons. Quote, "Never since the beginning of the world," quote, Baha'u'llah declares, quote, "hath a message been so openly proclaimed." The present volume brings together the first full authorized English translation of these major writings. Among them is the complete Surah-e-Ihakal, the Surah of the Temple, one of Baha'u'llah's most challenging works. It was originally revealed during his banishment to Adrianople and later recast after his arrival in Acha. In this version, he incorporated his messages addressed to individual potentates, Pope Pius IX, Napoleon III, Tsar Alexander II, Queen Victoria, and Nasruddin Shah. It was this complete work which, shortly after its completion, Baha'u'llah instructed be written in the form of a pentacle, symbolizing the human temple. To it he added, as a conclusion, what Shoghi Effendi has described as, quote, words which reveal the importance he attached to those messages and indicate their direct association with the prophecies of the Old Testament, end quote. Thus have we built the temple with the hands of power and might, could ye but know it. This is the temple promised unto you in the book. Draw ye nigh unto it. This is that which profiteth you, could ye but comprehend it. Be fair, O peoples of the earth. Which is preferable, this or a temple which is built of clay? Set your faces towards it. Thus have ye been commanded by God, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. During the last days of his ministry, Baha'u'llah himself arranged for the publication for the first time of definitive versions of his principal works, and the Surya-i-Hikal was awarded a prominent position among them. Of the various writings that make up the Surya-i-Hikal, one requires particular attention mention: the Law-i-Sultan, the Tablet to Nasruddin Shah, Baha'u'llah's lengthiest epistle to any single sovereign, was revealed in the weeks immediately preceding his final banishment to Acha. It was eventually delivered to the monarch by Badi, a youth of 17 who had entreated Baha'u'llah for the honor of rendering some service. His efforts won him the crown of martyrdom and immortalized his name. The tablet contains a celebrated passage describing the circumstances in which the divine call was communicated to Baha'u'llah and the effect it produced. Here, too, we find his unequivocal offer to meet with the Muslim clergy in the presence of the Shah, and to provide whatever proofs of the new revelation they might consider to be definitive, a test of spiritual integrity significantly failed by those who claimed to be the authoritative trustees of the message of the Quran. Included in this collection as well is the first full translation of the Surya-i-Muluk, or Surah of the Kings, which Shoghi Effendi described as, quote, the most momentous tablet revealed by Baha'u'llah, in which he, for the first time, directs his words collectively to the entire company of the monarchs of East and West, end quote. It sets forth both the character of his mission and the standard of justice that must govern the exercise of their rule in this day of God. Quoting, lay not aside the fear of God, O kings of the earth, and beware lest ye transgress not the bounds which the Almighty hath fixed. Observe the injunctions laid upon you in his book, and take good heed not to overstep their limits. Be vigilant, that ye may not do injustice to anyone, be it to the extent of a grain of a mustard seed. Tread ye the path of justice, for this verily is the straight path. The tablet introduces some of the great themes that were to figure prominently in the writings of Baha'u'llah over the next 2.5 decades: the obligation of those who, into whose hands God has entrusted civil authority, to institute the reign of justice, the necessity for the reduction of armaments and the resolution of conflicts among nations, and an end to the excessive expenditures that were impoverishing these rulers' subjects. Surveying the principal contents of Baha'u'llah's majestic call to the kings and rulers of the world, Shoghi Effendi has written, quote, the magnitude and diversity of the theme, the cogency of the argument, the sublimity and audacity of the language, arrest our attention and astound our minds. Emperors, kings, and princes, chancellors and ministers, the Pope himself, priests, monks, and philosophers, the exponents of learning, parliamentarians, and deputies, the rich ones of the earth, the followers of all religions, and the people of Baha'u'llah, all are brought within the purview of the author of these messages and receive each according to their merits the counsels and the admonitions they deserve. No less amazing is the diversity of the subjects touched upon in these tablets. The transcendent majesty and unity of the unknowable and unapproachable God is extolled, and the oneness of his messengers proclaimed and emphasized. The uniqueness, the universality, and the potentialities of the Baha'i faith are stressed, and the purpose and character of the Bābī revelation unfolded." End quote. The summary draws attention to Baha'u'llah's uncompromising indictment of the conditions of human society for which its leadership is held primarily responsible. Quote, "Episodes at once moving and marvelous at various stages of his ministry are recounted, and the transitoriness of worldly pomp, fame, riches, and sovereignty repeatedly and categorically asserted. Appeals for the application of the highest principles in human and international relations are forcibly and insistently made, and the abandonment of the discreditable practices and conventions detrimental to the happiness, the growth, the prosperity, and the unity of the human race enjoined. Kings are censured, ecclesiastical dignitaries arraigned, ministers and plenipotentiaries condemned, and the identification of his advent with the coming of the Father himself unequivocally admitted and repeatedly announced. The violent downfall of a few of these kings and emperors is prophesied. Two of them are definitely challenged. Most are warned. All are appealed to and exhorted." In a tablet, the original of which has been lost, Baha'u'llah has already condemned in the severest terms the misrule of the Ottoman Sultan Abdul Aziz. The present volume includes, however, three other tablets which addresses two ministers of the Sultan whose selfish and unprincipled influence played an important role in Baha'u'llah's successive banishments. The Suri-i-Rais, which addresses Ali Pasha, the Ottoman Prime Minister, was revealed in August 1868 as the exiles were being moved from Adrianople to Gallipoli, and exposes unsparingly the abuse of civil power the minister had perpetrated. The La-i-Rais, which also contains passages directed to Ali Pasha, were revealed shortly after Baha'u'llah's incarceration in the citadel of Akka, and includes a chilling denunciation of the character of the minister. The third tablet, the La-i-Fu'ad, revealed in 1869, shortly after the death of Fu'ad Pasha, the Ottoman minister to whose machinations it refers, describes the spiritual consequences of the abuse of power, and foretells the imminent downfall of his colleague Ali Pasha, and the overthrow of the Sultan himself, prophecies that were widely circulated and whose dramatic fulfillment added greatly to the prestige of their author. It seems especially appropriate as Baha'u'llah's influence penetrates ever more deeply the life of the larger society throughout the world that the full texts of these great tablets should now be available for a broad readership. We express to the committees who were commissioned to undertake and review these translations the great gratitude we feel for the care and sensitivity they have brought to the task. Baha'is will recognize key passages from several of the tablets that were introduced to the West by Shoghi Effendi. His translations into English of the Baha'i holy texts provide an enduring standard for the efforts of those who rise to the challenge of preparing appropriate renderings into English of these treasures of the faith. The Universal House of Justice. Page 1. Basiriya-i-Haikal. "This is the surah of the temple which God hath ordained to be the mirror of his names between the heavens and the earth, and the sign of his remembrance amidst the peoples of the world. He is the most wondrous, the all-glorious." 1. "Glorified is he who hath revealed his verses to those who understand. Glorified is he who sendeth down his verses to those who perceive. Glorified is he who guideth whomsoever he pleaseth unto his path. Say, I verily am the path of God unto all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth. Well is it with them that hasten thereunto." 2. "Glorified is he who sendeth down his verses to those who comprehend. Glorified is he who speaketh forth from the kingdom of his revelation, and who remaineth unknown to all save his honored servants. Glorified is he who quickeneth whomsoever he willeth by virtue of his word, be, and it is. Glorified is he who causeth whomsoever he willeth to ascend to the heaven of grace, and sendeth down therefrom whatsoever he desireth according to a prescribed measure. 3. Blessed is he who doeth as he willeth by a word of his command. He verily is the true one, the knower of things unseen. Blessed is he who inspireth whomsoever he willeth with whatsoever he desireth through his irresistible and inscrutable command. Blessed is he who aideth whomsoever he desireth with the hosts of the unseen. His might is, in truth, equal to his purpose, and he verily is the all-glorious, the self-subsisting. Blessed is he who exalteth whomsoever he willeth by the power of his sovereign might, and confirmeth whomsoever he chooseth in accordance with his good pleasure. Well is it with them that understand. 4. Blessed is he who, in a well-guarded tablet, hath prescribed a fixed measure unto all things. Blessed is he who hath revealed unto his servant that which shall illumine the hearts and minds of men. Blessed is he who hath sent down upon his servant such tribulations as have melted the hearts of them that dwell within the tabernacle of eternity, and the souls of those who have drawn nigh unto their Lord. Blessed is he who hath showered upon his servant from the clouds of his decree the darts of affliction, and who beholdeth me, enduring them with patience and fortitude. Blessed is he who hath ordained for his servant that which he hath destined for no other soul. He verily is the one, the incomparable, the self-subsisting. 5. Blessed is he who hath caused to rain down upon his servant from the clouds of enmity and at the hands of the people, of denial, the shafts of tribulation and trial, and yet seeth our heart filled with gratitude. Blessed is he who hath laid upon the shoulders of his servant the burden of the heavens and of the earth, a burden for which we yield him every praise, though none may grasp this save them that are endued with understanding. Glorified is he who hath surrendered the embodiment of his beauty to the clutches of the envious and the wicked, a fate unto which we are fully resigned, though none may perceive this save those who are endued with insight. Glorified is he who hath left Hussein to make his dwelling amidst the hosts of his enemies, and exposed his body with every breath to the spears of hatred and anger. Yet do we yield him thanks for all that he hath destined to befall his servant, who repaireth unto him in his affliction and grief. 6. While engulfed in tribulations, I heard a most wondrous, a most sweet voice, calling above my head. Turning my face, I beheld a maiden, the embodiment of the remembrance of the name of my Lord, suspended in the air before me. So rejoiced was she in her very soul, that her countenance shone with the ornament of the good pleasure of God, and her cheeks glowed with the brightness of the All-Merciful. Betwixt earth and heaven she was raising a call which captivated the hearts and minds of men. She was imparting to both my inward and outward being tidings which rejoiced my soul and the souls of God's honored servants. Page 6. 7. Pointing with her finger unto my head, she addressed all who are in heaven and all who are on earth, saying, By God, this is the best beloved of the worlds, and yet ye comprehend not. This is the beauty of God amongst you, and the power of his sovereignty within you, could ye but understand. This is the mystery of God and his treasure, the cause of God and his glory, unto all who are in the kingdoms of revelation and of creation, if ye be of them that perceive. This is he whose presence is the ardent desire of the denizens of the realm of eternity, and of them that dwell within the tabernacle of glory, and yet from his beauty do ye turn aside. 8. O people of the Bayan, if ye aid him not, God will assuredly assist him with the powers of earth and heaven, and sustain him with the hosts of the unseen through his command, Be, and it is. The day is approaching when God will have, by an act of his will, raised up a race of men, the nature of which is inscrutable to all save God, the all-powerful, the self-subsisting. He shall purify them from the defilement of idle fancies and corrupt desires, shall lift them up to the heights of holiness, and shall cause them to manifest the signs of his sovereignty and might upon earth. Thus hath it been ordained by God, the all-glorious, the all-loving. 9. O people of the Bayan, would ye deny him whose presence is the very object of your creation, while ye rejoice idly upon your couches? Would ye laugh to scorn and contend with him a single hair of whose head excelleth in the sight of God all that are in the heavens and all that are on the earth? O people of the Bayan, produce then that which ye possess, that I may know by what proof ye believed aforetime in the manifestations of his cause, and by what reason ye now wax so disdainful. 10. I swear by him who hath fashioned me from the lights of his own beauty, none have I ever seen that surpasseth you in heedlessness or exceedeth you in ignorance. Ye seek to prove your faith in God through such holy tablets as ye possess, yet when the verses of God were revealed and his lamp was lighted, ye disbelieved in him whose very pen hath fixed the destinies of all things in the preserved tablet. Ye recite the sacred verses and yet repudiate him who is their source and revealer. Thus hath God blinded your eyes in requital for your deeds, would ye but understand. Day and night ye transcribe the verses of God, and yet ye remain shut out, as by a veil, from him who hath revealed them. 11. In this day the concourse on high beholdeth you in your evil doings, and shunneth your company, and yet ye perceive it not. They ask of one another, what words do these fools utter, and in what valley are they wont to graze? Do they deny that whereunto their very souls attestify, and shut their eyes to that which they plainly behold? I swear by God, O people, they that inhabit the cities of the names of God are bewildered at your actions, while ye roam, aimless and unconscious, in a parched and barren land. 12. O pen of the Most High, hearken unto the call of thy Lord, raised from the divine low tree in the holy and luminous spot, that the sweet accents of thy Lord the All-Merciful may fill thy soul with joy and fervor, and that the breezes that waft from my name, the ever-forgiving, may dispel thy cares and sorrows. Raise up then from this temple the temples of the oneness of God, that they may tell out in the kingdom of creation the tidings of their Lord, the most exalted, the all-glorious, and be of them that are illumined by his light. 13. We verily have ordained this temple to be the source of all existence in the new creation, that all may know of a certainty my power to accomplish that which I have purposed through my word be, and it is. Beneath the shadow of every letter of this temple, we shall raise up a people whose number none can reckon save God, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. Ere long shall God bring forth from his temple such souls as will remain unswayed by the insinuations of the rebellious, and who will quaff at all times of the cup that is life indeed. These truly are of the blissful. 14. These are servants who abide beneath the shelter of the tender mercy of their Lord, and who remain undeterred by those who seek to obstruct their path. Upon their faces may be seen the brightness of the light of the All-Merciful, and from their hearts may be heard the remembrance of mine all-glorious and inaccessible name. Were they to unloose their tongues to extol their Lord, the denizens of earth and heaven would join in their anthems of praise. Yet how few are they who hear! And were they to glorify their Lord, all created things would join in their hymns of glory. Thus hath God exalted them above the rest of his creation, and yet the people remain unaware. 15. These are they who circle round the cause of God, even as the shadow doth revolve around the sun. Open then your eyes, O people of the Bayan, that haply ye may behold them. It is by virtue of their movement that all things are set in motion, and by reason of their stillness all things are brought to rest. Would that ye might be assured thereof. Through them the believers in the divine unity have turned towards him who is the object of the adoration of the entire creation, and by them the hearts of the righteous have found rest and composure, could ye but know it. Through them the earth hath been established, the clouds that have rained down their bounty, and the bread of knowledge hath descended from the heaven of grace, could ye but perceive it. 16. These souls are the protectors of the cause of God on earth, who shall preserve its beauty from the obscuring dust of idle fancies and vain imaginings. In the path of their Lord they shall not fear for their lives. Rather will they sacrifice their all in their eagerness to behold the face of their well-beloved, when once he hath appeared in this name, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Glorious, the Most Holy. Page 10. 17. O living temple, arise by the power of thyself in such wise that all created things will be moved to arise with thee. Aid then thy Lord through such ascendancy and might as we have bestowed upon thee. Take heed lest thou falter on that day when all created things are filled with dismay. Rather be thou the revealer of my name, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. Assist thy Lord to the utmost of thine ability, and pay no heed to the peoples of the world, for that which their mouths utter is like unto the droning of a gnat in an endless valley. Quaff the water of life in my name, the All-Merciful, and proffer unto the near ones amongst the inmates of this lofty station that which shall cause them to become detached from all names and enter beneath this blessed and all-encompassing shadow. 18. O living temple, through thee have we gathered together all created things, whether in the heavens or on the earth, and called them to account for that which we have covenanted with them before the foundation of the world. And lo, but for a few radiant faces and eloquent tongues, we found most of the people dumbfounded, their eyes staring up in fear. From the former we brought forth a creation of all that hath been and all that shall be. These are they whose countenances God hath graciously turned away from the face of the unbelievers, and whom he hath sheltered beneath the shadow of the tree of his own being. They upon whose hearts he hath bestowed the gift of peace and tranquility, and whom he hath strengthened and assisted through the hosts of the seen and the unseen. 19. O eyes of this temple, look not upon the heavens and that which they contain, nor upon the earth and them that dwell thereon, for we have created you to behold our own beauty. See it now before you. Withhold not your gaze therefrom, and deprive not yourselves of the beauty of your Lord, the All-Glorious, the Best-Beloved. Ere long shall we bring into being through you keen and penetrating eyes that will contemplate the manifold signs of their Creator, and turn away from all that is perceived by the people of the world. Through you shall we bestow the power of vision upon whomsoever we desire, and lay hold upon those who have deprived themselves of this gracious bounty. These verily have drunk from the cup of delusion, though they perceive it not. 20. O ears of this temple, purge yourselves from all idle clamor, and hearken unto the voice of your Lord. He verily revealeth unto you from the throne of glory that there is none other God save me, the All-Glorious, the Almighty, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. Ere long shall we bring into being through you pure and undefiled ears, which will heed the word of God, and that which hath appeared from the dayspring of the utterance of your Lord the All-Merciful. They shall assuredly perceive the sweet accents of divine revelation that proceed from these most blessed and hallowed precincts. 21. O tongue of this temple, we verily have created thee through our name the All-Merciful, have taught thee whatsoever had remained concealed in the Bayan, and have bestowed upon thee the power of utterance, that thou mayest make mention of mine exalted self amidst my creatures. Proclaim then this wondrous and mighty remembrance, and fear not the manifestations of the evil one. Thou wert called into being for this very purpose by virtue of my transcendent and all-compelling command. Through thee have we unloosed the tongue of utterance to expound all that hath been, and we shall again, by my sovereign power, unloose it to speak of that which is yet to come. Ere long shall we bring into being through thee eloquent tongues that will praise and extol me amongst the concourse on high and amidst the peoples of the world. Thus have the verses of God been revealed, and thus hath it been decreed by the Lord of all names and attributes. Thy Lord verily is the true one, the knower of things unseen. Nothing whatsoever shall prevent these tongues from magnifying their Creator. Through them, all created things shall arise to glorify the Lord of Names, and to bear witness that there is none other God save me, the all-powerful, the most glorious, the best beloved. Nor shall those who make mention of me speak aught unless they be inspired from this tongue, from its lofty station. Few, however, are they who understand. No tongue is there that speaketh not the praises of its Lord, and maketh not the mention of his name. Amongst the people, however, are those who understand and utter praises, and those who utter praises yet understand not. 22. O maid of inner meanings, step out of the chamber of utterance by the leave of God, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Reveal then thyself adorned with the raiment of the celestial realm, and proffer with thy ruby fingers the wine of the heavenly dominion, that haply the denizens of this world may perceive the light that shone forth from the kingdom of God when the day star of eternity appeared above the horizon of glory. Perchance they may arise before the dwellers of earth and heaven to extol and magnify this youth who hath established himself in the midmost heart of paradise upon the throne of his name, the all-sufficing helper. He upon whose countenance shineth the brightness of the all-merciful, from whose gaze appear the glances of the all-glorious, and in whose ways are revealed the tokens and evidences of God, the omnipotent protector, the almighty, the all-loving. 23. Grieve not if none be found to accept the crimson wine proffered by thy snow-white hand, and to seize it in the name of thy Lord, the most exalted, the most high, he who hath appeared again in his name, the most glorious. Leave this people unto themselves, and repair unto the tabernacle of majesty and glory, wherein thou shalt encounter a people whose faces shine as brightly as the sun in its noontide splendor, and who praise and extol their Lord in this name that hath risen, and the plenitude of might and power to assume the throne of independent sovereignty. From their lips thou shalt hear naught but the strains of my glorification and praise. Unto this thy Lord beareth me witness. The existence of these people, however, hath remained concealed from the eyes of all who, from everlasting, have been created through the word of God. Thus have we made plain our meaning and set forth our verses, that perchance men may reflect upon the signs and tokens of their Lord. 24. These are they who, in truth, were not enjoined to prostrate themselves before Adam. Footnote, reference to the Quran, 2 verses 30 through 34, Surah 38, 71 through 75. They have never turned away from the countenance of thy Lord, and partake of at every moment of the gifts and delights of holiness. Thus have the pen of the All-Merciful set forth the secrets of all things, be they of the past or of the future. Would that the world might understand. Ere long shall God make manifest this people upon the earth, and through them shall exalt his name, diffuse his signs, uphold his words, and proclaim his verses, in spite of those that have repudiated his truth, gainsaid his sovereignty, and cavilled at his signs. 25. O beauty of the All-Glorious, shouldst thou chance upon this people and enter their presence, recount unto them that which this youth hath related unto thee concerning himself and the things that have befallen him, that they may come to know what hath been inscribed upon the preserved tablet. Acquaint them then with the tidings of this youth, and with the trials and tribulations he hath suffered, that they may become mindful of mine afflictions, and be of them that understand. Recount then unto them how we singled out for our favor one of our brothers, Mirziyah, how we imparted unto him a dewdrop from the fathomless ocean of knowledge, clothed him with a garment of one of our names, and exalted him to such a station that all were moved to extol him, and how we so protected him from the harm of the malevolent as to disarm even the mightiest amongst them. 26. We arose before the peoples of the earth and heaven at a time when all had determined to slay us. While dwelling in their midst, we continually made mention of the Lord, celebrated his praise, and stood firm in his cause, until at last the word of God was vindicated amongst his creatures, his signs were spread abroad, his power exalted, and his sovereignty revealed in its full splendor. To this bear witness all his honored servants. Yet when my brother beheld the rising fame of the cause, he became filled with arrogance and pride. Thereupon he emerged from behind the veil of concealment, rose up against me, disputed my verses, denied my testimony, and repudiated my signs. Nor would his hunger be appeased unless he were to devour my flesh and drink my blood. To this testify such of God's servants as have accompanied him in his exile, and they that enjoy near access unto him. 27. To this end he conferred with one of my servants, footnote, Ustad Muhammad Ali Isalmani, see God Passes By, pages 166 through 168, for an account of the events referred to by Baha'u'llah in this and following paragraphs. Returning to text, repeating the beginning of the paragraph. Paragraph 27. To this end he conferred with one of my servants and sought to win him over to his own designs, whereupon the Lord dispatched unto mine assistance the hosts of the seen and the unseen, protected me by the power of truth, and sent down upon me that which thwarted his purpose. Thus were foiled the plots of those who disbelieve in the verses of the All-Merciful. They truly are a rejected people. When news spread of that which the promptings of self had impelled my brother to attempt, and our companions in exile learned of his nefarious design, the voice of their indignation and grief was lifted up and threatened to spread throughout the city. We forbade, however, such recriminations, and enjoined upon them patience, that they might be of those that endure steadfastly. 28. By God, besides whom is none other God, we withstood all these trials with forbearance, and enjoined upon God's servants to show forth patience and fortitude. Removing ourselves from their midst, we took up residence in another house, that perchance the flame of envy might be quenched in our brother's breast, and that he might be guided aright. We neither opposed him nor saw him again thereafter, but remained in our home, placing our hopes in the bounty of God, the help and peril of the self-subsisting. When, however, he realized that his deed had been exposed, he seized the pen of calumny and wrote unto the servants of God, attributing what he had himself committed unto mine own peerless and wronged beauty. His purpose was none other than to inspire mischief among God's servants and to instill hatred into the hearts of those who had believed in God, the All-Glorious, the All-Loving. 29. By the one in whose hand is my soul, we were dismayed by his deceitfulness, nay, bewildered were all things visible and invisible. Nor did he find respite from what he harbored in his bosom until he had committed that which no pen dare describe, and by which he disgraced the dignity of my station and profaned the sanctity of God, the Almighty, the All-Glorious, the All-Praised. Were God to turn all the oceans of the earth into ink and all created things into pens, they would not suffice me to exhaust the record of his wrongdoings. Thus do we recount that which befell us, that haply ye may be of them that understand. 30. O pen of eternity, grieve not at the things that have befallen thee, for ere long shall God raise up a people who will see with their own eyes and will recall thy tribulations. Withhold thy pen from the mention of thine enemies, and bestir it in the praise of the Eternal King. Renounce all created things, and quaff the sealed wine of my remembrance. Beware lest thou become occupied with the mention of those from whom naught save the noisome savors of enmity can be perceived, those who are so enslaved by their lust for leadership that they would not hesitate to destroy themselves in their desire to emblazon their fame and perpetuate their names. God hath recorded such souls in the preserved tablets as mere worshippers of names. Recount, then, that which thou hast purposed for this temple, that its signs and tokens may be made manifest upon earth, and that the brightness of this light may illumine the horizons of the world and cleanse the earth from the defilement of those who have disbelieved in God. Thus have we sent down the verses of God and made plain the matter unto those who understand. 31. O living temple, stretch forth thy hand over all who are in heaven and on earth, and seize within the grasp of thy will the reins of command. We have verily placed in thy right hand the empire of all things. Do as thou willest, and fear not the ignorant. Reach out to the tablet that hath dawned above the horizon of the pen of thy Lord, and take hold of it with such strength that through thee the hands of all who inhabit the earth may be enabled to lay fast hold upon it. This in truth is that which becometh thee, if thou be of those who understand. Through the upraising of thy hand to the heaven of my grace, the hands of all created things shall be lifted up to their Lord, the mighty, the powerful, the gracious. Ere long shall we raise up, through the aid of thy hand, all hands endued with power, with strength and might, and shall establish through them our dominion over all that dwell in the realms of revelation and creation. Thus will the servants of God recognize the truth that there is none other God besides me, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. With these hands, moreover, we shall both bestow and withhold, though none can understand this save those who see with the eye of the Spirit. 32. Say, O people, can ye ever hope to escape the sovereign power of your Lord? By the righteousness of God, no refuge will ye find in this day, and no one to protect you, save those upon whom God hath bestowed the favor of his mercy. He, verily, is the ever-forgiving, the most compassionate. Say, O people, forsake all that ye possess, and enter beneath the shadow of your Lord, the All-Merciful. Better is this for you than all your works of the past and of the future. Fear ye God, and deprive not yourselves of the sweet savors of the days of the Lord of all names and attributes. Take heed lest ye alter or pervert the text of the word of God. Walk ye in the fear of God, and be numbered with the righteous. 33. Say, O people, this is the hand of God, which hath ever been above your own hands, could ye but understand. Within its grasp we have ordained all the good of the heavens and the earth, such that no good shall be made manifest but that it proceedeth therefrom. Thus hath we made it the source and treasury of all good, both aforetime and hereafter. Say, the rivers of divine wisdom and utterance, which flowed through the tablets of God, are joined to this most great ocean, could ye but perceive it. And whatever hath been set forth in his books hath attained its final consummation in this most exalted word, a word shining above the horizon of the will of the All-Glorious in this revelation, which hath filled with delight all things seen and unseen. 34. Ere long shall God draw forth out of the bosom of power the hands of ascendancy and might, and shall raise up a people who will arise to win victory for this youth, and who will purge mankind from the defilement of the outcast and the ungodly. These hands will gird up their loins to champion the faith of God, and will in my name the self-subsistent, the mighty, subdue the peoples and kindreds of the earth. They will enter the cities and will inspire with fear the hearts of all their inhabitants. Such are the evidences of the might of God. How fearful, how vehement is his might, and how justly doth he wield it. He verily ruleth and transcendeth all who are in the heavens and on the earth, and revealeth what he desireth according to a prescribed measure. 35. Should any one of them be called upon to confront all the hosts of creation, he would assuredly prevail through the ascendancy of my will. This verily is a proof of my power, though my creatures comprehend it not. This verily is a sign of my sovereignty, though my subjects understand it not. This verily is a token of my command, though my servants perceive it not. This verily is an evidence of mine ascendancy, though none amongst the people is truly thankful for it, save those whose eyes God hath illumined with the light of his knowledge, whose hearts he hath made the repository of his revelation, and upon whose shoulders he hath placed the weight of his cause. These shall inhale the fragrances of the All-Merciful from the garment of his name, and shall rejoice at all times in the signs and verses of their Lord. As for those who disbelieve in God and join partners with him, they shall indeed incur his wrath, shall be cast into the fire, and shall be made to dwell, fearful and dismayed, in its depths. Thus do we expound our verses, and make plain the truth with clear proofs, that perchance the people may reflect upon the signs of their Lord. Page 21. This is the end of side one. Please stop the tape, turn it over, and continue on side two.